Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Read You Later, a fun, captivating show that discusses the best in art, publishing, entertainment, and political activism. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have two of the hottest pens in the game. And when I say hot, ladies and gentlemen, these two will leave your Kindle, your Nook, if you still have one. They will leave your book. They will leave any tablet you have scorching. So I would like to welcome, to Read You Later, Stephanie Nicole Norris and Love Belvin. Welcome to Read You Later, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, I want to get into the heart of the matter. Most of my listeners, the majority of my listeners, are very avid readers. They're also generally fan of the romance genre and any subgenre there is. And over the course of years, if you're an avid reader, you can't help but to observe, if you're an observant reader, that the course of African-American romance has changed. And as anything in life, be it politics, love, relationships, and even business, as we can see with the demise of the brick-and-mortar business and, of course, the upsurge of online businesses, that things evolve. It's an evolution. And what we know, or what we know as readers, as the typical, quote-unquote, African-American romance, I believe has changed. And it's due to a cipher of several young ladies as yourself. And I would have to include that. You two are most definitely in that catalyst that has caused this change of African-American romance. And what I mean by that is that the dialogue is raw. And I told Stephanie earlier, I equate it to the first time I heard Wu-Tang, because I'm an old hip-hop head. Wu-Tang, Cash Moves, Everything Random, Dollar Bill, y'all. It's raw, it's gritty, and it's realistic. And it kind of hits you in your face without being, it's still sensual, it's still romance. It still has excellent plot and characterization, but there's something different about this new era of romance. Now, a lot of people may disagree with me. However, I've talked to plenty of reviewers, book heads, book nerds, bloggers, and my book club members who are reading, as I say, a cipher of new ladies, and I include you in this cipher of new romance. So I'm going to ask each of you the question. Stephanie, I'll start with you. Do you believe that African-American romance, as we know it, has changed or shifted over the past 5 years?
Well, I honestly can't say yay or nay, and that's mostly because I used to be an avid reader. I could eat them up. I could read books 2 or 3 a week, like you do, like you told me you do now.
I do. Yeah.
But I haven't been able to read like that. Like the last 3 years, I haven't been able to read like that because I've been working on my craft and just trying to get my own stories created the way that I want them to be, you know. So I haven't really had the chance to just drown myself in books and be like, oh, this is different or this is changed. That may be sad to say, I do read, but not nearly as enough to answer that question and say, well, yeah, because 5 years ago, you know, I remember stories being like this. Because I can only really tell you what I know or how I write, what I know I'm putting out, and, you know, what I have to try to really compare that with is maybe samples I've read or something like that, but I haven't really been able to dive into it. So if you say change, I'll take your word for it.
Do you feel that your style of writing, do you feel that it's comparable to perhaps other styles that you've read over the last 10 years, or do you feel that you're doing something maybe just a little different than perhaps books you've read previously?
Well, I do think that my books are different because they're based on my taste, what I like. I'm real extra, you know. I've always been this real huge, hopeless, romantic, just like, you know, I won't call it over the top. It's not necessarily over the top, but it's just like consuming type of romance, you know. And I don't know that if there is, you know, I like to think that most romance is, you know, all consuming.
Some
like
of that flavor,
but
captivate that and incorporate that in there. Now, love, what about you? Do you feel that there is a new edge to romance, or do you feel that this callus has always been there, but there have been a bevy of writers such as yourself that have been able just to push it to the front?
So like Stephanie, I'm going to say I don't know for sure, but I've had my ear to the streets over the past few years since I found this space in literature where there is a wealth of African-American readers, women, and men, who want to consume the type of art that I produce, right? And then I've been hearing that there were lots of restrictions and particularly African-American romance, like with traditional publishers, how there was a formula that they had. You couldn't say certain words. You couldn't curse. Couldn't have any infidelity. You couldn't, you know, couldn't do any explicit erotic scenes and things of that nature. These are the things I was told. And then I'll come across readers who, you know, just basically said listen, in my writing, I just do what I want to do. I honestly just listen to my characters and I let them tell me their story, and I don't give them any barriers either. If it's something that I'm not comfortable taking on, you don't get to sit on my couch and tell me your story. I'm not going to take on your journey. But if I'm going to take on your journey, it's going to have depth. It's going to have some feels. It's going to mean something. And that's just what I like to do. Now, I'm like, Stephanie, I don't have the time to read like I used to, which I don't like. So I don't know. I don't really have a pulse of what my peers are putting out so much of. But aside from what I hear from some of the readers we share, I don't know. But I have been told, Ms. Lashira is not crazy, that there is a new wave, that art is now edgier and it's more honest and it's more bold. And I know for me, it's unapologetic. I got it real bad when I published my first series. I mean, I got it. It was a 4-book series. It was like out of control. I just let my characters leave. And I got beat up pretty bad by readers who have been in the industry, the African-American readers, women, who have been in the industry for years. And I got beat up pretty bad, but I didn't get it. Like, this is just their story. And I'm glad that I didn't allow it to discourage me. I'm glad that I continue to move with it. And now, you know, I have a few peers who I stand next to, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
And I think often to be a trailblazer in anything that you do, there will be some pushback. And I think that people, when they receive that pushback and they continue to carry on, that often they have the most success because you're taking ownership of who you are. And that's very hard. You know, we all say it. We have mantras. There are t-shirts. There are mugs. Girl, there are planners for that. But to actually do it, when you're receiving the pushback and you have the naysayers, you know, I have to applaud both of you and some other authors I'm thinking of, you know, in my mind, because I do know, you know, Nancy Funk, you know, Kamani was that. And, you know, I have a lot of friends who write for Kamani, or used to write for Kamani. And I remember Deborah Mello, she had one of her stallions, and I think we were in a stallion or Boudreaux, and there was some steaming, there was some elements of BDSM, and I was like, girl, she gave me the reader art, and I was like, girl, come on, and let you like this, and you know, and it was very edgy, you know, this was like maybe 7 years ago, and it was very edgy, and it was so uncommonic, and she had to go through some things in order to actually have the book published, but she felt that her character spoke to that, and that was what her character was about. So I always applaud authors, anyone who can actually go through that and complete their story and be unapologetically who they are. So it's hard.
You know what I had to learn, LaShera? I had to learn, and I made a meme out of this, but sometimes it's not that you're doing something wrong. Sometimes it's just is not what they're used to. It's, they're exactly. not accustomed to it. So you're going to get all of this feedback and this pushback and the talking and the discouragement, but you just have to keep your train moving and believe in your art and continue to invest in yourself and your business. Treat it like a business, not like a hobby. And, you know, that's what we're doing. And
thank you
both
for glory.
Doing I still have readers.
And the one character stands out to me for love that really was an unapologetically whoever he is, you know, and we argue about our favorite characters between you two with the Valentine and with love characters and a lot of, you know, I am a Sadiq woman and I was Israel and, you know, people still hold on to Israel and, you know, and we often argue over the Valentines with Stephanie, but Israel was a very complex human being, and we all are.
Yeah.
You know, he was a little bit of country, a little bit of rock and roll, and honey, he even threw in some jazz. He was a little bit of everything. And I think I can recall having a vivid conversation about him, and we were like, wow, it is so unusual for African American characters to be that complex and be able to not only show love, show his fallacy, show his fault, show his heart, show his emotions. And, you know, I applaud. And I was thinking of the Valentine. I think it was three for Stephanie. I can't think of the character's name, but three for Stephanie. And we were talking about the complexities of the characters and how not only was the dialogue real, but the situations or something that, or the plot line were something that was very, even though there were dynamic plot lines, they were simple enough to connect with readers. So what is your purpose? And love, I'll ask you this question. When you tackle a story or when a story tackles you, per se, or when characters tackle you, is it your goal to make that character relatable to your readers, or do you just set out perhaps crafting the best book that you can at that particular time, or is it a combination?
I'm sorry, Stephanie.
I want to know. I thought she was talking to me.
Go ahead, Ms. Stephanie.
I was going to say, I have actually, I like to be led with my writing, and I feel like that anytime I write something, it's going to turn out to be something relatable. It just always comes to me like that. Anytime I write a story, it's always come to me like that. Even if I'm pantsering, which is just writing off the top of my head, or when I'm outlining, it still comes to me in a relatable way. So, for example, like the last, not the parent story, but the last Valentine brother, the girl that he was with had lupus. Well, my friend who passed away last year had lupus. And I was in the middle of writing the story to bring awareness to lupus when she passed away. So it was real heavy to finish that story because the story wasn't done when she passed away. It was real heavy to finish that story. And so it was just like, okay, you know, I wanted to put it down
multiple times, but I was like, you have to finish this story, because I you don't hear about lupus as much as you hear about cancer. And I'm not saying it to relate, to try to compare the two, because they're incomparable. But, you know, people need to know, because I had no idea what lupus was.
Highly impacted in our African-American community, especially with African-American females. And I do believe a lot of people related to that story. It may not be themselves, but family members. I have a book club member. Oh, my gosh. I used to work with several teachers who were impacted by lupus. So there is a grain of truth. And I think, you know, once again, so often previously, and I think the tide has really changed with that. In the African-American genre, such topics weren't really discussed. Such topics like with love, or talking like with mental health, and people who quite aren't sure of themselves, it was kind of considered taboo, if you say, because people felt that we as readers weren't smart enough to realize that those are real life issues, and they wanted to keep this fairy tale going on. So, you know, that story, Stephanie, really rang home with a lot of people. And love, your stories always generally have like people who are overcoming a lot of self-doubt, trauma in their lives. And it's okay. If you look, you know, for both of you, when you look at the Kindle and you may highlight a section, there's 108 other people who highlighted those words, and sometimes they're encouraging. So do you feel, love, that it's also your job not to just be an author, but also to educate people in your writing?
I hope to. But the way I approach my projects is literally by the couple story. Like when I start hearing from them, what's your story? And if it's interesting to me and it has some depth, it has some length to it, I'm going to take it on. And then I try to record the story in a manner that would interest me. It's only me in mind when I'm creating. And then at the end, I'm like hoping, okay, I hope you guys like this, because I do, you know, I'm honest with their story. So it's not, you know, there's some messages in there, because those are the type of people I think I attract, you know, with some real stories, like you said, trauma, some life lessons, some type of spirituality in it. Because I think from my perspective, when you think about a long lasting relationship, you have to think about the substance of the two parties in a relationship. Like, you know, what do you believe in? What do you hold to be true? So that tends to be very interesting, and I've gotten great feedback from that. But I don't think I think about like the overall how people are going to receive it so much as, tell me your story. What about your story is interesting? And then, you know, I start building this story and start falling in love with it, and start, you know, getting into the meat of it with the characters, and then we end up with whatever we end up with.
Yeah, and both of you end up with stories that are not only, you know, full of, you know, the heat and the scorching, as I said, hot pen alert, but what I mean by hot pen alert, it's not just so much the sexuality in the story, but the way it's crafted and the way that both of you, like when Stephanie approached lupus or approached romance of a certain age, like in one of her stories, or you approach a broken billionaire, or you approach a woman who's been traumatized from being sexually assaulted, you do so in the confounds that you feel that person, you feel that individual, and you feel what they're going through in the depth that they're going through, to not just recover but be victorious. So they're not always victims, but they're victors. And I think that is what solidifies readers to your work. You know, I'll download and purchase your books regardless. You know, there are certain people I do that with. You know, I don't have to have a review. I don't have to have, girl, someone got to tell me. You know, if I see your book is out, I'm just going to purchase. And, you know, I'm not the only person.
I appreciate that.
Definitely. That feel that way. So, you know, what you're doing is very true. And you were saying earlier, I think both of you all, how how credible you feel as authors and how authentic you feel. And I think it comes across, and I think, but I know it comes across to me when I read both of your work. Now, I said I wasn't going to take callers, but I have several people that have been on here, 116, 110, and one. Yeah, so I feel remiss I had to take some of these callers. So I'm going to take one caller, one from 770-670-603. Do you have a question or a comment for either of my guests this evening?
No, I'm just calling. I'm just listening. I'm a big fan of Love, Belvin. This is Robert. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia.
Robert! Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
Hey, Robert.
I'm doing fine. I posted in my for my group, Robert's Reading Room, and review. So I just want to listen.
Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. And I've met Stephanie, like, maybe I want to say it's been like 2 or 3 years ago, because I bought one of the books in the Valentine series. I think I bought the second one when I went back to go purchase book one was out. So I do got two, so I got to get one.
Robert, do you feel that these two ladies, along with other people, do you feel that there's been a shift in African American romance?
No. I don't think so. I mean, like Love Belvin said, she just let her characters talk and be who they are. I don't have a problem with the, I guess what I'm trying to say, the hard erotica in a book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I do know that Love Belvin would take you there, because in the Love Probable with Raina, that was kind of deep. And she, and parts of it was kind of dark, and some of the, I think it was book 2 or 3 in that series, it was kind of dark. I was like, oh, okay.
Book 3.
But no,
yep,
I don't.
Book 3.
I don't at all.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you chiming in this evening, and you have a wonderful evening.
You too. I look forward to seeing you next month, Love Belvin.
I do too, Robert. We'll be in touch.
All right. Have a good night.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We have a caller from 908-908-468. Do you have a question or comment for either of our guests this evening? 908-468.
Hi. Hi, this is Aitisha Glover. I am one of Stephanie's fans. I love her, and I'm just enjoying listening to her and explaining to you about her last story with her friend. I read and laughed and cried throughout the whole story, so I'm just really appreciative of the stories that she tells. It gets me through my work day, and her community of followers are all great. So I'm just listening and enjoying it.
Well, thank you. And let me
tell
you, honey, you can hear the excitement in your voice. You can hear the excitement, I mean, in your voice. And that is the hallmark of great writing, when a book to carry you through your day, through your worst part of your day, your great part of your day, and to encourage you. So I appreciate you chiming in this evening. Have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.
I'm going to take this one last caller from 708-912. 708-912. Do you have a question or comment for either of my guests this evening?
Hello, it's Shannon again.
Shannon, you know what? I should know your name by heart, girl. I need to do that. Like, I know, look, I know Kim, and I know a couple other people, and they'll say, LaShira, don't click on tonight. And I'm like, well, you clicked on one. Okay, Shannon, do you have a question? Shannon is the reviewer, blogger, extraordinaire. But honestly, Shannon is just an awesome individual. Honey, if you take away the blogging and the books and everything else she does, she's just a wonderful individual. So, Shannon, do you have a question or comment for either of my guests this evening?
I just found out about Love Belvin after, I think, last year. I think is when I first, you know, read one of her books. And, of course, I'm hooked. Miss Stephanie,
you.
I've heard of her books, but because I just have so many books, I just haven't gotten to them yet. But one of these days, I will.
All right, because, girl, I know your TBR list is crazy. Because I saw you, I think you posted something like 10 books you were going to read in the next week and a half. So, look, girl, yes, but I'm going to tell you, once you read one, kind of like Lay's potato chip, girl, you won't be able to put them down. And I appreciate
yes.
you being this evening. And let us know anything we can do to support you on my end or read you later, because you're just an awesome individual. Awesome. Have a great evening. Well, ladies, you all were showing a lot of love a few minutes ago, and I'm going to take some questions. The first one is for Stephanie. Stephanie, one of my listeners who doesn't want to come on the air, she wants to know, will you have any more theories in the Valentine series?
Okay, so... There's one book left in my Heart of a Valentine series, and that's Kyle Valentine. His book is coming. I say soon, but I mean like soon, like next week. Soon, like before the summertime. Soon.
Yeah, so but that means her 29th book this year, and I don't know how the sister does it. Next love. Someone wants to know, will we see the good pastor? You know, I don't say pastor. You know how we say in the South, pastor. Will we see the good pastor in any more of your books?
Of course. He's been in subsequent projects of mine. You know, we have this Love Belvin universe. So some way or another, not all of my characters are connected, but because they stay in the same universe, you know, they say we're separated by 6 degrees or 6 people. So we do find a lot of them recurring. And a pastor was in my previous series, the Deep series.
Hold on. She wants to clarify. Actually, she wants to see more of the pastor. That's what she's saying. She wants to see the good.
That sounds more like it. Yeah. I think they want him to have another book, another installment, and that is... Yeah, I don't see that happen. I don't have it. And there's only one project of mine that I said that if I had the time, I would do, and that's Love's Inconvenient Truth. That is because that was my first standalone for so many years. But no, I don't see it. I don't see it. Not another installment.
She just sent me a sad emoji.
I'm sorry.
But, you know, it's a break because, you know, I was talking to Stephanie earlier before we aired. I said, you know, Christina has me wanting to go to the coffee shop and the winery. I said, you have me wanting to go to a restaurant on Creme Brulee. And, you know, and I remember, I think I was telling Stephanie, someone said, does she remember? I said, girl, that's not for real. You know, like she was like, why don't we take a trip there? And I was like, girl, it does not exist.
Oh my
but
God.
But the hallmark of the writing, like when the listener earlier was saying, you know, she read Stephanie's book in reference to about Lucas and how the characters had her and all these feelings. And, you know, we can like remember the different restaurants or the sceneries or the venues and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So it really is the hallmark of good writing. And do you feel that when you write, Are you writing necessarily to put someone in a happy place? Because I know that each of you have books that have dealt with some serious issues. But what I like about both your writing styles is that you're able to balance it. There's some wit. There's some humor. There's sex. There's romance. There's even a romantic tension. So you balance it so well. So when you write, do you feel your writing is like a recipe where you're trying to get all the ingredients? Because some authors, when they write, there's either a romantic comedy or there's more sexual tension. But both of you all are able to balance it. Is that something, and I'll start with you, Stephanie, is that something that you intentionally do as an author, or is that something that is just part of your writing style?
Both.
Both, okay.
You know, both. Because, like, first of all, hell yeah. We have to have a happily ever after somewhere in there. We have to have some type of happiness in there because life is hard enough.
Okay.
So like when we dive in and we get away, for me, I need you're gonna get the realism, all of that good stuff. But at the end of the day, we need to make it out of this thing
feeling good about ourselves, feeling good about our partners, you know, whatever the case may be, because there's enough sadness and just grumpiness in the world as it is. There's no way I could see reasons. My first series, my Troubling Paradise series, went crazy. But, but yeah, for the most part, when I'm writing, you know, you're going to get the key ingredients that I feel like the characters are giving me for a good story. At the same time, it has to come out with the reader feeling, or with the reader and myself feeling good about the story. It has to feel like when I push away from the computer, I shake my head and go, that was good. That was good. And if I don't feel like that, then, you know, I'm likely to just go over and over.
Well, I've asked you the same question. Do you feel like that there's the key ingredients that you have in any story, or do sometimes you mix the ingredients up?
No, I think I kind of stick to the same. Like, I don't do, like, I just stay in contemporary romance. Obviously, it has a touch of erotica, has a tough touch of, you know, spirituality. I try to mix in a little humor, but I'm not like a romantic comedy, like a rom-com type of author. I try to, you know, do a little suspense and everything, but truly it is character-based. And I think what Ms. Stephanie was saying was you want to provide an escapism. So I definitely, well, so far, have done the happily ever after route. Like, that to me is my role as their fictional therapist. When you come to me, you need help and you need to be able to make it work. So obviously when you leave my office, you're supposed to be together. You're supposed to be pursuing your happily ever after. So yeah, I think I follow the same type of, and I think I have the same ingredients in pretty much all of my projects. Again, like the Sadiq may rear off into the suspense arena a little bit. Ezra maybe more spirituality in that, by way of his title and his role in the church. Robert was talking about, Love's Improbable Possibility, that was a little more on the urban side because of Asmir's dual lifestyle. But definitely it's really the same thing. And I often call myself corny because I honestly just stick to that contemporary base as much as I can.
All right. And I know I told you ladies that I wouldn't keep you longer than 30 minutes and we're at 32, but I had so many people online. I still have people online. I did want to try to get to some of the calls.
You're fine. So, that's fine.
Yeah. So I want to talk about your project. yeah, because, you know, I mean, people call in. I have some people call in every week, and, you know, I just feel like that, you know, there's so many different podcasts and so many shows that deal with books, and I don't take anybody for granted who listen, call in, or download, because, you know, I appreciate each and every one because we're all busy, so I appreciate them calling in and people sharing. I appreciate them all, so I just want to give them their due props and allow them to speak to, you know, their favorite authors. So I'm going to ask Love, what do you have on tap for us, your upcoming project?
Yeah, I'm so excited about it. So Tori McNabb has been talked about in previous projects. I think the first project she was talked about in was Connecticut Kings that I have with in the second round. And then she was talked about more in the Love and Rhythm and Blues series. She's like best friends with Raji, my R&B artist. Well, Tori is a professional boxer, and she's taken that arena by storm. And we're finally getting her story. And it's a little strange because it starts the manipulated timeline. So we're going to meet her back in the day where she met the hero on a college campus. So we're going to get some new adult in there, and then we're going to go back to our contemporary roots in the now. And I'm really excited about it. It's going to be 3 installments, and the first release is on Sunday. And I'm super, 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 super excited about it. I'm always excited.
You know what? See, Love gonna mess me up because I'm supposed to start a new job soon. So look, I'm working my day. But Monday was a day that I was working my old job. See, I don't know. Now, Stephanie, if you got coming out some Sunday, I'm just not going to go to work Monday. I'm just gonna, look, I'm going to say it on air. I'm not going to go to work Monday. But don't say that, because Stephanie will drop a book, won't tell you anything. It's just boom. She'll give you a cover. And then 3 days later, happy release day. Like, what? What is that about? So anyway, I hate to call you out, but you know I'm telling the truth. So, cuz, when is one of your many upcoming projects?
You know, I'm feeling a little shaded, you know?
No!
Listen. I do not just drop books. That is a total lie. You know what? As a matter of fact, I put my books on pre-order and everything. Like, you have a time frame. You know when I'm going to release it. You can pre-order it. You know, I got my little promo, whatever.
We were talking about you when they came to you. A couple people were talking about you, like, honey, if you put out so many books, we don't know, like, if it wasn't for Amazon saying, you already purchased this, we were like, did we purchase this? Go ahead on. So when is your next upcoming project? You know what I'm telling you. What's your next upcoming project?
So here's the thing. I'm in a Cornerbound Chronicles series, so there's an event next week in Chicago. There's a book euphoria event next week in Chicago, mm-hmm. and there's a book series surrounding the theme, which is the Carnival, the Afro-Caribbean Carnival. But so there's a book series surrounding it, and I happen to be one of the authors of releasing a book surrounding the theme. So that comes out at the end of March. When it comes to my own personal stories, the next full release will be from my Heart of a Valentine series.
This is the last one. Look, she's still saying another sad face. I know, you know it is, and I know, like, as a reader, I know, you know, we want our favorite series and our characters, we want to keep revisiting them. I think that's why the young lady asked about the good pastor, as I say, Ezra. but I also know that, you know, as Love said, the characters speak. And so when the character starts speaking and you, like, want to do something else, you want to do something else. And I remember I've interviewed Kimberly Lawson-Roby several times. And, you know, honey, Reverend Curtis Black, you know, we as readers, we didn't want to end. But I think she was 20 or 21 books deep. And I was thinking, this chick is probably tired of writing about the good Reverend. He wasn't that good until the end. He didn't really get saved until the end. But, you know, I want to say maybe like 60% of them made the NYT list. So I'm sure her publisher wasn't tired of her writing. But, you know, as a creative, I know that she wanted to dig into other stuff, which, you know, she did. And I think I just interviewed her two weeks ago. So, you know, even though I'm sad that the Valentine's coming to an end.
Well, here's the thing. But here's the thing, though. They're septuplets. There's only so many of them.
Let me tell you, one day before everybody got saved, no, like the daddy, he just stood out at the prom. Girl, you know I got something for it. And he got somebody pregnant at prom night, and he didn't know. And then the child comes back later. So that's your other Valentine. Girl, let me tell you, I got all kinds of ways for that. But I know you're tired. Like, Love, I'm just saying, like, the good old pastor, mm-hmm. I can see where, if you don't want to give him a pass, you know, like, you know, why he's at church and he goes back and he started having those dreams, you know, like when he was overseas and he's wrestling with some. I know y'all don't want to hear this, but I can just see the story.
She is straight up trying to give you a storyline.
Ooh, I see that.
I agree with the people. I just feel that we can go on.
I agree with the people.
I know that you and Love are creative. You want to create additional characters. So, you know, I'm good with it. But, you know, if the Lord, as they say in church, if the Lord do touch your heart, that was my grandma say, if the Lord do touch your heart, and you want to continue with these characters, girl, we are all here for it. We are. Dooley, I am a one-click chick. You hear me? I'm a one-click chick. Well, I appreciate
you. We will have other characters for you guys to fall in love with.
Okay, I know you
absolutely
will. You're not
absolutely.
You're going to be purchasing anyway, cuz. And it's a long story why I call her cuz, but I have to tell you off the air. It was last year. She was a stepmother for a while, but she redeemed herself. She's back to cuz status. But anyway, I appreciate you ladies coming on. Read you later. And of course, I will support, share, not that you need it, but I would share, support.
Oh,
any
I need it. I need it.
Endeavors.
I'm
or
just
anything
to say.
Else, you know I will. And I would like to appreciate, I'd like to extend my appreciation for all my listeners, the people that I said earlier who download, who share the poster, who talk about it on Twitter, Instagram, or even talk about it at work. I duly appreciate you as well. And from my heart to yours, and from my bookshelf to yours, have a wonderful evening. And ladies and gentlemen, keep shining. Good night.